The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast, Joshua, Adam, William Arvin, that with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
Well, so when you have a man challenging your world heavyweight champion, and arguably the face of your company right now, because stars are dropping like flies, you have that challenger lose to Elias just to really drive home how much of a threat he is to the WWE champion, right? Right? That's how you do it. This is how wrestling works, right?
That's what you do, man. That's exactly what you do.
Oh, man.
How are you? Yeah. I'm okay. We're doing two pods in a week. I am now the futurist. Suck it, Mo.
Mike Tyson. Mike.
So I need to explain this, and Joel is my witness. We had an off-air chat, and this was kind of going with the talk. Mike Tyson did some stuff the last few days here, saying I'm back, I think I could box again. And I brought up to Joel, I'm like, you know what? Some wrestling company should do. They should bring in Mike in some capacity, because it's going to be big bucks to whoever lands him first. I don't know if it's WWE, if it's Dana. I will give Joel the assist. Like, you know, Tony could do it too because he has the money. I'm like, yeah, Tony could do it absolutely as well because he has the money to do it. I think someone's got to take advantage of it. And no later than, 5 hours after that conversation, boom.
Iron Mike Tyson at Double or Nothing. So does that mean I would have gotten to see Iron Mike Tyson up close?
Yeah.
Pay-per-view?
You got to see Great Muta. You're not going to get to see Mike Tyson, so you don't get to put that on my face right now.
Well, I have Muta, so I'll take that.
Yeah. This is huge. I think that Mike is an uproar right now as far as a comeback. You know, during this Last Dance conversation, you heard Mike Tyson being thrown in that conversation with Jordan and the only other athletes that are come close as far as a Beatles-like atmosphere for an athlete to go see them or be around them or the atmosphere that they had. Really, the only names that have been thrown around are Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali, Tiger Woods, Mike Tyson. Steph Curry's been thrown around a little bit just because of what he did as far as a three-point shot. But I don't think he's in the conversation of what those other guys developed. And Tyson definitely added that aspect to the sport of boxing and to the sports world in whole. And you look about how much he swung the Monday Night Wars. He's one of the main pinnacles and one of my peers of the Monday Night Wars. So this is a huge, huge get for AEW, especially with Mike being in the shape that he's in right now, having a clear brain right now, and potentially being able to bid this fight on your BR app.
Oh yeah, because the thing is, like, you saw it on social media, he's still very much a draw, and there's still it's a mixture of that nostalgia and it's a mixture of that curiosity, and I mean all the stories about maybe him do, like you said, there could be something on BR Live with a charity boxing, because it sounds like he wants to do just a charity boxing event, so that would be interesting to see what would happen. And I mean, You suddenly have a guy that casual wrestling fans will be like, oh, Iron Mike Tyson's going to be on an AEW pay-per-view? How do I watch? What's going to happen? Like, is he going to punch someone out? Like, there will be genuine curiosity from having Mike Tyson there. So this is an incredible get. And like you said, this guy was at a point on the Jordan level of just popularity and just curiosity and must see, and he absolutely did swing the Monday Night Wars. That said, AEW's starting to draw criticism, being like, oh, you're just trying to be like WWE, And I'm like, if you can get a draw that wants to be there, and like Mike Tyson was backstage at last year's Double or Nothing. He was laughing at Michael Nakazawa doing his oil up gimmick.
You and I like that more than most.
And so you've got a guy that's actually kind of passionate about your wrestling company. He seems to be friends with Tony Khan and the Khan family, and he seemed to get along with Jericho just nicely. And you can't say enough things about Jericho right now. He's such a big deal wrestling wise, but to get Mike Tyson's big. Like, that's no small get. And Vince has got to be pulling his hair out.
And you know, for the people that criticize, oh, well, they're just doing what WWE did. Yeah, well, guess what? One of the biggest acts of all time came from New Japan with the NWO. DX is kind of an answer to the Click and mainly an answer to NWO, right? It's this is what wrestling does. They bite stuff and they try to make characters bigger in other companies. I mean, Sting and TNA. Right? Ric Flair and any other company, he went from going from WCW to WWE. This is a recycling business. You do this consistently. Unlike other sports, and I mean, this sport does evolve as far as the talent. We've seen it, right? From what it was in the 80s to now seeing what a Will Ospreay match is, for an example, right? But the gimmicks and the publicity stunts are always going to be copied. If AEW wants to go and get Floyd Mayweather at one point, I'm not going to blame him for it because that's a great get. And this is a great get with Tyson. And this is a perfect time to get Tyson because he's in the news during this pandemic when people are starved for sports news. And he's an athlete that, like I said, he's one of those polarizing athletes that we have in the world right now, like a Jordan, like a Tiger. And it was a perfect – you couldn't have asked for a perfect time to hit where the iron is hot, especially with him saying that he could box again, that he's in the best shape of his life.
Right. I mean, you got to think he – to bop one of those annoying heels in the face, and that clip could get replayed over and over again, especially if he throws it and he catches him really good. It could absolutely generate some interest and some buzz and some retweets, and that's what AEW needs right now. Like the one thing, like this week's AEW was an alright show. I think there were some highs and there were some lows. Cody driving into the barricade at very slow pace didn't work as well as I think they thought it would, but there's still some positive things that are operating within AEW, and they are a victim of this whole thing because it felt like they had good momentum, and now it felt like their momentum got taken away. And I think bringing in something like Tyson kind of helps pop things a little bit. He's not being put in your world heavyweight champion. He's helping bring prestige, and he's bringing eyeballs to that TNT title, which will be essentially your mid-card title, which will be the middle-of-the-pack title that I think Lance Archer is winning. And it just helps put Lance Archer over more so, and now you're building him up. And I think he's been one of the stars of this whole COVID era for AEW. I feel like him and Jake have worked really well together, and I think he was absolutely the best signing that they've had this year. Not to discount Brody Lee and eventually the Revival, but I think Lance has really stuck the landing.
I think Jake's a big part of that for helping him as well. But yeah, absolutely. And I am actually interested in any back and forth potentially with Jake and with Tyson as well. And what is the idea for Tyson? Is the idea to pitch an idea? Like, we've seen some Holyfield stuff again. And yeah, it's just two old guys potentially fighting each other. But guess what? We saw a fight that wasn't good at all in Conor versus Mayweather. We all knew that was going to be a disaster. And it flooded and broke box office records. You can't tell me if you're going to do Holyfield and Tyson again that that's not going to draw an audience. Because it is.
I'll tell you right now, if suddenly the NBA announced that they were doing a one-on-one game with LeBron versus Jordan, you can't tell me that wouldn't shatter just downloads, views, anything. It would be must-see television.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, well, what can Jordan do? There is a draw there. And again, I don't think, because you know when WWE brings people in and they're pushed and pushed and they're kind of shoved down your throats, like the celebrity side of thing, and it's not used to enhance the talent around you. I don't think it's going to be one of those cases with AEW where Tyson is just burying everyone else around him and they're using this to make Tyson look good. I feel like this is a vehicle to get more eyeballs on a Sammy Guevara, on an MJF, on a Lance Archer, on a Cody, and just draw more people in. So it's one of those things where I think if you do it right, I think this pays off in spades for you. And I mean, and for Turner, if they do this charity boxing on BR Live, then that draws more people into that app. And I think the only thing that they have going on BR Live is AEW. So, man, you could be helping boost the numbers up for AEW.
I think you absolutely can. I've already had people go and tell me, like, oh, what's Mike Tyson doing there? And so people are going to go – and again, you hit – well, the iron is hot. And Mike, just even going to like Google News just to look at Mike Tyson stuff, it's every day there's been something on Mike Tyson. People are like, oh, what? And I think the interesting thing is Mike really has kind of changed his attitude. They asked him about Conor McGregor. They asked him about Floyd. And he's been nothing but kind with kind words about stuff. And it does seem like the fight that he wants to go with, though, is the Holyfield fight. Yeah. And I mean, with a company that has some ties to the Georgia area with Cody and everything like that, that helps. But as you lay down the comeback trail, this is the perfect area to start it for people to be like, what's AEW?
Yeah.
At the very least, even if he doesn't do anything, people are like, Mike Tyson is going here. What's AEW?
Yeah. It creates buzz and interest. And all it takes is one person to go, hey, that Rey Fénix is really talented. Or, hey, that Kenny Omega is really good. Oh, there's Chris Jericho. Oh, man, they're doing this big brawl in Jacksonville Stadium. Oh, that's really cool. And then you just slowly start to suck more and more people in. I think it's a smart move on their part. It's a really smart move. And I mean, oh, look, there is a dark side to Mike Tyson that should absolutely be noted, and you can't deny that part of his life. But I don't really want to get into that because that's a very murky waters, and it's best to
No, I'll change the subject in the sense of the interesting thing is Evander Holyfield seems to be Team WWE because he's been taking Booker T and Mark Henry in a lot of his posts lately.
Oh, maybe it's AEW
versus WWE Fox and Fox Sports and Renee.
I'm really curious to see because if like even Tyson being there is big. If the fight is on Fox, then that. But it would be funny because everyone would be like, oh, it's AEW versus WWE, where Holyfield's aligned with WWE and Tyson's aligned with AEW. Mm-hmm. It could make for a really interesting little moment for wrestling fans.
And even if the fight is on Fox, it still brings attention to AEW.
Yep, that's the thing. Tyson doing this has instantly tied him to AEW. And whatever, I'm sure he's probably going to throw a punch at the pay-per-view. I can't see him not. Like, he may get into it with Archer, and you're going to hear, I hope you don't, but I can just picture JR going, Tyson and Archer, Tyson and Archer, Tyson and Archer. Good. And then Jake probably separating and pulling Archer away. And then I don't know what you go from there, but I could see.
Unless you can get Holyfield in the crowd.
Oh, if you get Holyfield. I guess
crowd, that's how. Never mind. I forget that we're in a fucking pandemic.
Never mind. I apologize, everyone.
Maybe Holyfield comes down.
Yeah.
Like that. There's a lot you could do, and I'm really curious to see.
Yeah. There's a lot you can do with it. And even if you don't do anything, even if he just gives the title, again, it's just to shine to the company, which is huge and fantastic.
One of the first images will be him holding that title and presenting it to one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's big.
It is. So I think it's an absolute thumbs up for me. I think it's a great get by AEW. I think when you have an opportunity to get a Tyson, you go and get a Tyson. And they did that. And I don't know what they're going to do with him. If it's just do the title, I mean, that's all Brett did when he was there. And maybe that's all Mike Tyson does. But at the very least, you have the attention of people now.
And that's, I'm really curious next week's rating. I'm curious if this Tyson news and if anything falls out between now and Wednesday, if that helps pop the ratings a little bit, because AEW had its lowest rating, but so is it NXT. UFC, so. I mean, UFC Survivor absolutely throttled them. I think there's a couple big things on. I think NASCAR's next week.
Wonder Liga.
Yeah. So there's.
I think La Liga is coming back soon as well.
So there are things that are going to pull from the ratings, because let's be honest, AEW and NXT are fighting over 1.2 million. That's what the fight is over. Is that 1.2 million? I know some people are saying that this is all on AEW's fault, but I don't know how you can suddenly grab like 5 million people onto your wrestling product. Like 3 million.
Wonder Liga starts tomorrow.
There's going to be a lot of competition. And like you said to me, when the NHL and the NBA come back with their playoffs, however they look, that's going to hurt Steph as well.
That's going to majorly hurt them, because we've seen, again, when people have had sports in any form in the last little bit, the soccer stuff is going to be much different, because with La Liga and with Wonder Liga, well, I think people will be excited to have sport back. La Liga helps a little bit more because you're getting the Ronaldos and you're getting the Messis, right? You're getting no one names in that factor, and it'll be much bigger in Europe than it will be here. I think they're all on DAZN, so you're not going to really see, and I could be mistaken. I know at least here in Canada, it's on DAZN. I think the States has it on their DAZN as well. All the soccer's on DAZN. So I don't know if you'll see as much of a hit from the footy as much. But like you said, like once NBA and NHL come on, it's on, because WNBA drafted 4 million people. The NFL draft the first night did 9 million people. The Last Dance has been averaging about 7 million people. The NFL draft entirely did 55 million people. And like I said, The Last Dance 2 is on 7. And then Survivor has been kicking it out of here. And so I'd imagine when the NBA and the NHL come back, and baseball and MLS, it's going to really be a competition against both AEW and NXT. They really have to get their gear up. And that's why you bring in Mike Tyson to bring some of those eyeballs on. And I don't even know how much that's going to matter going against the NBA and the NHL for the playoffs.
Yeah. Like, we know that none of the sports is going to kick in until June, July. So there's a little bit of time. But I really think this war that's apparently on is really on hiatus, because you can't have there's just, like, I felt like AEW, like, the one thing that AEW is lacking is the rampant crowd, because you're watching stuff. And you're seeing Pineapple Pete last night, or last Wednesday, would have got a massive reaction. Mm-hmm. Like, that would have been big, and that would have been his shining moment, is the crowd chanting, Pineapple Pete, Pineapple Pete. And you don't get that. I think that's something that lacks, because when you go back and watch the clips, part of it is watching that crowd reaction. That's why Austin clips are so popular, is how rampant the crowd was. I feel like AEW, well, it's not all Austin pops. I feel like there's still good enough crowd reactions that draw people in. And I mean, a small report today came out that AEW turned a profit. They paid everyone for all the production days, and they only had to work 2 days. So good on them for doing that. And they turned a small profit, but they're missing out on big gates for the cities that they were going to go through. But even with that said, you're lacking the crowd from each of those cities that could generate more moments for you, that help generate heat and energy for programs. And I feel like that's the thing that AEW and WWE is absolutely sorely lacking, is any real way of gauging how over each talent is. Like,
absolutely.
Did you hear, Josh, we made a mistake. We didn't start the show off right.
No.
We had to pay tribute to a fallen AEW comrade. Vanguard One is broken. Jericho used the Inner Circle bat and bashed it, and Vanguard One is no more.
Oh, no.
He flew too close to the sun, and that's it. Like, even that moment on AEW where Jericho breaks Vanguard One and Matt comes running out and is holding the broken pieces of Vanguard One and is inconsolable, that would have gotten a crowd reaction. The crowd would have been, I think the crowd would have been booing Jericho out of the building. They would have been furious with the smashing of Vanguard One, but you don't get that. And that hurts moments like that because you're not getting the crowd component to it.
That's a big part that really, really hurts them.
I think
they don't get to have. Because with anybody, right? I mean, we've talked about it with Otis too in WWE. Like, not having that element really is unfortunate.
Yeah, that's the thing where, like, Otis would have. I would be really curious if they still were going to give him. The Money in the Bank. Had there been a crowd. And I'd be curious what the crowd reaction would have been if he got it.
I would have been interested in that too. But fortunately, that's where we are. But it's hard to tell, like, who's rising. Like, we all think Lance Archer is getting over right now. There's criticism of Brody Lee, but we don't know how any of those. I mean, I'll give it to AEW in some sense. Like, And they could have been like, you know what, we're going to hold off Matt Hardy. We're going to hold off Brody Lee till we have fans. I think that's what WWE, we talked about it the other day. I think that's what they're doing with Sasha, right? Charlotte took a dig at Sasha tonight, but I still think they're waiting for the Sasha face turn to happen when fans happen. So I'll give it to AEW. They did the Brody Lee thing. They brought Lance Archer in, and they brought Matt Hardy in without fans.
There was a report that broke today. I didn't get to send it to you. But there was apparently a massive Nexus-esque storyline, like something on that level or the limo blowing up. It was a storyline on that level that WWE pulled the plug on, that they're not going to do until the crowd returns. And it was supposed to be...
So we're assuming that's Bay, right?
I imagine so. I imagine that's what they're saving. And... because that's the only thing that makes any logical sense for a big storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Because you gotta give some credit to NXT, and I really feel like NXT is really stale right now, and I think part of that is they weren't able to shuffle up their main event the way they hoped.
Well, and we've seen, I won't get into his legal trouble right now, but we've seen as a performer, Velveteen without the crowd isn't very good.
No, and that's something that he has to work on. But I mean, at the same time, how often are you going to be performing without a crowd?
You won't. I don't think Hulk Hogan. How good would Hogan have been without a crowd? I was thinking about that today. Like, Hulk Hogan without a crowd, how much different is Hogan as a competitor then?
Yeah. How different is Austin and Rock?
Yeah.
Like, it just. I don't know. I think. Any performer in this situation, there would be more holes exposed in their game with the lack of crowds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's created one of those situations where we're getting to see performers have to kind of work through things. And we're seeing someone like Asuka that is thriving in the situation and able to get herself over with the audience of one, the only one that really matters in WWE, Vince. But it'll be interesting to see what Asuka does when there is a crowd and how things translate. This with sports coming back, but I mean, today I think Texas reported its single highest death rate. I'd have to double check that. But if this is all the case, then this could all be a moot point moving forward. But I wonder when we will see a crowd in pro wrestling.
Well, you and I debated would the NXT show and the WWE show have fans? And you and I weren't going to close the chapter. I know today the NBA, as Adam Silver has given the 2 to 4 weeks idea that they'll make the decision, and they're going to, I think Bettman and Rob Manfred are going to follow really whatever the NBA does. If the NBA cancels, then I think the NHL will probably follow suit, right? Yeah. If they're going to do it, then they won't feel as much pressure from their fans that they don't cancel. But I don't think they will. They talked to Chris Paul today on The Jump, and he feels pretty confident they are. But all this is to say, like, the NBA now is experimenting with 20 to 30% capacity. That's the talks that they had today. So you have to imagine some of these combat sports are considering the same thing. How can we do 20 to 30% capacity?
Yeah, and what does that sound like? What does that look like?
AEW is kind of ahead of the curve on that.
Yeah.
In some ways, I mean, right? Like,
you already feel like you're... How do you sell those tickets? How do you decide who gets them? Like, when you're going, how do you make sure you enforce social distancing? Because, I mean, I'm hearing stories that, like, the malls are open in where we are, Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
They're not.
Well, certain parts of the malls are open. Like, there are certain...
Yeah, but they had to pull back. Edmonton's fully open.
Calgary's not fully open, but even there's some malls in Calgary that some of the stores are open. Like, more of the bigger chains, not the smaller chain stores. But I'm already hearing stories of people not following social distancing right now. And it's just not. Getting... pardon?
Of course not.
It's going to be really interesting how they handle if you can't handle social distancing in a mall. I know they're different, but I wonder if the security is going to be told, you got to make sure everyone's staying distant. If they're family, that's different. But if having little groups and little pockets, you can't have people going up to each other and talking really close, because it's still a risk. It's still a risk, and you got to be smart about it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they'd be able to test people entering, or you'd have to have been tested to enter? Like, is that...
I think what you'll do is the basic, what they've done for some of these people that have worked at the amusement parks and stuff, or what WWE talent have done. I think you're at least going to get people's temperatures checked before they come in. I think that's the least you can do.
Yeah.
I think that's going to kind of... I mean... I don't want to go down this rabbit hole too much because we got some exciting stuff to talk about. But today the talk was Chris Paul again on The Jump, and some of the talk on CNN and everything was like, we could be 2 years away from a vaccine. So that's one of the reasons that places like the NBA and everything's like, well, we're not going to not play for 2 years.
That'd be crazy.
So we have to make a decision of what we're going to do, and let's start this bubble system or dart, whatever we do. Can we do 20, 30 capacity? If we're not going to have a vaccine, we're going to have to adjust to life around this. And that we don't know if that's for sure, but that's something that Rachel Nichols and Chris Paul were talking about today on The Jump. And that was a little bit talked about on CNN today as well.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. And this is a never-changing story. Like, I feel like once this podcast is out, this portion of it is going to be outdated in a couple days, because everything will have changed. Mm-hmm. And there'll be adjustments to the story. I'll be like, oh, well, this has already changed and this has changed. Like, it's a constantly growing and evolving story. But you are right. We do have exciting things to talk about that's not COVID related.
Yes. Let's get to those.
So did you hear that there's a movie coming out tomorrow on the 16th?
I've seen the trailer for it.
And it features one world heavyweight champion that I think WWE wishes they had back. And
yes.
John Moxley as Christian, Chuck Liddell. What is it, Josh? What is the whole thing? You're the broadcaster in all of this.
It's really, you know, it's kind of I don't want to say coming of age story, but it's a pretty simple premise. But, you know, it's kind of that idea of a UFC fighter facing a professional wrestler in a fight. I mean, we've kind of seen this with CM Punk in some ways, right? I think it's a CM Punk story, all respect to Punk, but with a guy that could be more of a challenge to this fighter. to a promotion that's really, in some ways, you can almost put the parallels to Mayweather and McGregor, right? Of out of the ring, and Punk's obviously been in this realm as well. We've seen people from other sports. We just saw Greg Hardy this week do a tremendous job, right? We've seen Herschel Walker go in this way. But watching this trailer, I like Mox in it. I think, you know, he's had some acting background in WWE, and he's talked about in that Talk is Jericho interview that he wanted to do a little bit more acting, so he's going to get the opportunity in this. What I really liked about this is you kind of go into the trailer and you get the idea, the premise of the fight being, oh, it's this MMA fighter versus this wrestler, and you think the whole thing is going to be like, oh, this wrestler can't win, this wrestler can't win. I kind of like that, not that they flipped it, but I like that they go on the other side of the MMA fighter of being like, well, what if you don't win? What if you lose to him? Which was like, oh, okay, cool. We're not just going like, this wrestler can't win, this wrestler can't win. He wins the fight. Yay. I like that direction in the trailer. They kind of telling both sides of the story.
Yeah, I like that. I like that it, like, I think Moxley, like, we talk about Becky potentially going into the Marvel Cinematic Universe in some way and her getting more acting things. I don't think there's anything wrong with wrestlers wanting to branch out that way and potentially find other spots. And like having Moxley here, who is the face of AEW in a lot of ways, because he's your world champion, being in this movie, it's a smart thing to do, because there's a nice little synergy where this will be available on Fight. And that's where more people, more than likely most people, will be ordering Double or Nothing. So you get this nice little synergy when you go onto the site and you go to order Double or Nothing. You see this, and you may be jonesing for some entertainment, and that's what you gravitate towards. So it's nice to see a decently sized wrestling company not trying to hide this or not wanting to talk about it. Like, you can see on the AEW social media that they're talking about this. And I mean, there's no guarantee that this movie's going to be a fantastic film, but I think it should be a decent film that is maybe the building blocks for Moxley having a career that doesn't involve barbed wire and barbed wire wrapped around a baseball bat.
Exactly. And I mean, we kind of see the one actress whose name's escaped me for a second here, who kind of seems like the major promoter of all this. She is Gina Gerson. And I think the thing we remember her from the most recently was probably Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought I recognized her.
She's the one that gets Jake thrown into jail. It's a little bit of a spoiler alert. I know it's doing popular on Netflix right now, but yeah. She was also in Blockers as well.
It's decent cast. And I mean, it'll be available tomorrow. And if I remember correctly from Moxley's Twitter, they said that they were pushing this out a little bit quicker because they saw the need for content and entertainment. So yeah, you can order One Night Only, Cage Fighter, Worlds Collide. Moxley's breaking into acting.
Well, you got him in that. You got Moxley in there. You got Jay Russo. But I know it's Christian. You got Chuck Liddell in there. So you got someone from all the combat sports in there. Chuck has done, he kind of has gone like the Austin route, right? He's just kind of been in all the action movies and kind of done that kind of role. So it'd be nice for him to be in this kind of role, for him to be an MMA teacher. Something that can come natural to Chuck. You saw there. I like Christian as the podcaster, something else that kind of comes natural to Christian, which I do miss that he doesn't have anymore with Edge back in the company.
There's a lot of good things, and like it says in the trailer, like put a 6-ounce glove on anyone, anyone's got a chance. So we're gonna see if Moxley's holds two titles by the end of this, the AEW title and then their MMA title from the movie.
I think the most impressive thing about this trailer was, and what this movie is, again, is you kind of started like, oh, okay, well, Moxley's the underdog or whatever his character's name is, and then he's going to win, and the wrestler beat the MMA guy, and everybody learned the lesson. But by the end of it, I'm like, I have no idea who's winning this fight, and I'm interested of what the story is going to be, and also I'm interested to see who's going to win the fight, which I think a good movie does that. Like Creed, for example, was a good movie that I didn't know for sure if he was going to win or not. And then for people who haven't seen Creed, I won't spoil that. The overall tone of it kind of reminded me a little bit of the story mode you have in FIFA or Madden or 2K, and then a little bit of the kind of with the pick your own, like be this creative fight idea, kind of reminded me a little bit of Rocky Balboa when he has that fight based off a video game and what you could do, when that's kind of what we have here. Like, again, we've seen this in real life to some degree, right? We've seen CM Punk take the ring. We've seen Jack Swagger, Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar take it. Brock's the biggest example of all of them, right? Dave Bautista's tried his hand of it. Del Rio taking his hand of it. But Brock's the biggest one that's gone this route. And Moxie's talked about having interest in that world as well. So something a little bit to wet his beak as well.
You're absolutely right. And that's what makes this movie where it's not a complete farce. It's like, well, I've seen this before. So it creates that opportunity for, you know, you look at it and you go, okay, well, this would be an action sports film. I know what this kind of is. Let's see what happens. And the worst thing that can happen with all of this is it just falls flat and everyone moves on. But anything that you do, something like this, it could land and it could gain a good following. And I mean, I think that's why more people would potentially be willing to check it out, especially on Fight. It's an easy little way to just break up what you're watching currently in quarantine and self-isolation.
Yeah, I think it's an easy watch. How much is it going for?
I don't know if they have the price listed yet. Let me take a look, because I think I'm gonna watch it. Like, I don't think there's anything. Like, I'm starting to run out of shows. So
yeah, I think it's, and again, it's just on Fight. Easy thing to watch. Like I said, I'm enthused to kind of see the story they tell here. Mox, we've talked about, he's done, I think he did 3 rounds or whatever, like the 12-round sequel he did. So he had a little bit of the acting chops. He's talked about having that acting bug. He's talked about having the MMA bug. He's trained with MMA. So I'm interested to see how he can do in that world. And we've seen MMA movies that have, you know, turned out to be really good, like The Fighter. Kurt was in that. Tom Hardy, I believe, is in that as well. I could be mistaken. This has a very, a nice premise to it. And I think the biggest thing is telling both sides of the story of this, not just being like, this is the gimmick fight and this is what we're going to do. I think that it does a really good job. And a trailer is so important to really tell you the story, to suck you in or not. And this is a movie that's, you know, not a Hollywood blockbuster type of movie, so it has to grab your attention. So Fight having this up and having the trailer they did kind of brings you in right away that it's going to be a good story, that you're going to have some familiar faces in the combat sport world with Jay Russo, with John Moxley, with Chuck Liddell, that'll draw you in and ultimately want to see how this fight ends.
Yep, absolutely. And it is on Fight, and it is $15 US and 20% discount for AEW subscribers, AEW Plus subscribers. So anyone that's outside of Canada and the US that is in AEW or has a VPN could potentially get this at a 20% discount. So again, that's a really good sign showing that AEW is supportive of what Moxley is doing here, and it's offering a little treat for those that are AEW fans. So if you're an AEW subscriber, 20% off a potentially $15-$20 movie, you're saving some money there.
Mm-hmm.
So I
think they're bringing a good product. Like you said, you're running out of things to watch. Go check it out. Yeah. I know I am.
I shall be as well. I'll follow right behind you.
And what do we got left to talk about?
I think that's how we end it. I don't think there's anything else.
No, I mean, it's been a kind of slower week. I guess the main thing is, like I said, go check out this scene on Fight. And we kind of just now wait to see what the sports world is and how it affects wrestling. I mean, if the Raw rating, I wanted to kind of bring this up, if the Raw ratings continue to dip, I don't know what's going to happen when Monday Night Football comes back.
Yeah, I mean,
you're talking about empty arenas in the first place, potentially, with some of these football games. So that means all those fans that aren't at the football game are going to be watching the TV too.
Yeah.
Like that's, you can talk about Raw. I 100% think Raw will dip below a million.
I maybe one day we see AEW have higher ratings than Raw. Well, SmackDown will probably end up having higher ratings. The Friday night games are big too.
Well, that's so, the thing that the NFL has talked about. Since there might not be any college sport, the NFL has talked about maybe later on in the season, if there's no college sport, moving or flexing some of the games to a Friday.
That could be detrimental for WWE. AEW's in that sweet little middle spot that they don't have to worry about.
Well, if they face playoff stuff, that's going to hurt them too, right? Like if they face an NBA Finals or Stanley Cup game, you're going to look at some – and that's the thing that AEW is going to have to deal with the NBA is if there's a playoff game on the Wednesday, bye, you get moved. So that's – and that was something that was going to happen regardless. But now that's something that's going to hurt AEW and why this Tyson thing is so important, because there's going to be Wednesdays where they get displaced and moved. And maybe they go to TBS, maybe they go to the Bleacher Report app. But that's not good for a product to be like, oh, it's not on Wednesday tonight. No, the NBA game's on. And that was always one of my fears. But now it's a bigger fear than ever with the rating dropping a little bit. And then you're going to have playoff games and it get displaced. So that's a little bit of a concern for me. I think AEW, like you said, they turned a profit. I think they're doing all the right things. But that's something coming their way if the NBA returns that I'm sure TK and everyone's prepared for. But that is going to be an adjustment, and it's definitely going to hurt the ratings. So everybody, wrestling-wise, rating-wise, is going to be affected coming forward here. And I guess the last question for you is, what's the future of ROH? We know it's ending. That they were going to the 31st. Have you heard any more about what ROH is doing past May? Because that's when they postpone things. Is there any word of what ROH is doing here in June?
No. I mean, their saving grace is Sinclair owns them. So they can kind of sit and wait. What was the quote? There was a quote a couple days ago from Japan about their future. So it's really interesting where everything is, because the two companies are going and everything else is at a standstill. I don't know about Ring of Honor. New Japan put out a quote about empty arena.
We'll see how that works for them. Yeah, there's a little bit. We had a little bit of a leg there. But the point is, if they do the empty arena, I mean, that's the right choice. And they kind of have a quiet, subtle crowd. And I think if anyone's going to not benefit but be okay with empty arena, it might be Japan, because they don't go off the fans as much. The fans are so polite there and respectful that it's not going to be as much of an adjustment. But still, they will miss the fans, obviously.
Yeah. Here's the quote. The novel coronavirus pandemic has drastically affected the entire world these past few months, including all of us here at New Japan Pro Wrestling. As you are likely aware, New Japan Pro Wrestling has not staged an event since February 26th, and we are not actively staging events at this time. We at New Japan Pro Wrestling know how disappointing it is not to have to cancel events, and I personally would like to thank all the fans for their continued support in these challenging times. I would like to take this time today to talk directly to explain the actions we have taken over the past few months and present a roadmap to live events returning. This spring, events in the New Japan Cup, Wrestling Doku, and the Best of the Super Junior Tours were canceled, and we have had to regrettably postpone the Wrestling Dynasty at Madison Square Garden to 2021 as a result of the ongoing pandemic. These are unprecedented steps of New Japan Pro Wrestling in 48 years of our history. While we are left with no sensible option but to take these actions, we were not taken lightly. Not only were we countless fans all over the world left disappointed, but so too were our wrestlers and our staff. Obviously, New Japan Pro Wrestling incurred significant financial losses with these decisions, as well as I cannot overstate how painful these steps have been for us and me personally today. There are three reasons why New Japan Pro Wrestling has elected to cancel or postpone to so many events, why we have not to date engaged in so-called empty arena matches. The first and foremost reason we have is to protect the health and safety of our wrestlers and staff. When broadcasting matches free of spectators for broadcast online, even if we have to take all the precautions to maintain the safety of the venue and do all we can to ensure the staff and the wrestlers are healthy, the fact remains that the safety is in by no means guaranteed. Data has clearly shown high levels of infection within cities like Tokyo, and therefore we believe at this stage, even an empty arena involves a level of unnecessary risk. The second reason for event cancellations is the connection to the availability to use venues. Many venues in Japan are run by the municipal and prefecture governments, with their management deciding to forbid events from taking place in a bid to combat the coronavirus. Additionally, as the pandemic has escalated, these venues have closed their doors even to empty arena presentations. Since New Japan Pro Wrestling does not own or operate venues of its own, this has led to many cancellations. So that basically the what I'm taking is we're not doing anything. That's what I gather from all of this.
Which is a benefit to the performers, like the Tanahashis that are put together by hairspray and duct tape, and to the Will Ospreys that we consistently fear of his life. And to a guy like Okada that's been wrestling a lot, and a guy like Ishii that gets the crap beat out of him.
All these, the scary thing is, all these Japanese guys.
And Ibushi. And Ibushi.
You can't tell me Ibushi doesn't do neck bumps on his own time. He probably falls out of bed and takes a neck bump.
I do feel like it hurts Kenta, because Kenta was really getting momentum.
Yeah. See, that's going to be the thing. It's going to be really curious to see how the crowd reacts, but I think this is the healthiest Okada's going to be. This is going to be the healthiest Tanahashi's going to be. And all these guys are going to come back really healthy, and it's going to be balls to the wall for all of them. And it's
this is the only way Naito is allowed to hold the title for this long.
And both titles, no less.
Yeah.
If we go a whole year without New Japan, like if New Japan doesn't, like February 26th was their last thing, if we get to December 31st and have to do the end of the year, I don't know how we do our awards. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, we're almost halfway right now, right? We're 15
days away. And we would be doing our midway awards right now, talking about who would win what right now. Who's the wrestler of the year, Josh?
That's a great question that I don't have an answer to.
Is it Jericho?
Maybe. I think the match of the year is still Ospreay and Ibushi. That's my match of the year, I think. Unless I'm missing something.
I mean, I'm torn.
Okada and Ibushi. That's what it is. Sorry. It's Okada and Ibushi. Who did Ospreay face? Takahashi?
Yeah. He returned from his neck injury.
I'm drawn between both those. I think Wrestle Kingdom's the best show of the year so far.
Yeah. I mean...
Night one.
Naito and Okada was good, too.
Did you like night two more?
I like night one more.
Yeah, personally. I did too.
But I mean, the other thing is, I really liked the Hangman and Omega and and the Bucks match. I really liked
that. Yeah, that was good too. I really love that. That's a great point. That's up there too. Those are my three. Woman Wrestler of the Year is easy. It's Asuka.
Yeah. She stepped in.
That one's easy. The Bucks, sure.
It might be. It just might be by proxy, because, I mean, we've seen how tag team wrestling's handled in WWE.
The story of the year is obviously COVID, but we're having a non-COVID story of the year. We'll have a segment on COVID, but it's Becky at this point. It's harder. I mean, it's a lot harder to do right now, because you just don't have Japan really in it, and WWE is obviously going half-assed for some stuff and full force for the cinematic matches.
I'm really curious to see what December 31st brings.
Promotion of the year is AEW.
Yeah, just because I think maybe it is still New Japan for how they've handled everything.
It may be New Japan. Like, everything I saw from Japan for a month was amazing.
So the streak will live on.
I mean, Impact's even had, like, some nice stuff here and there.
It's going to be really interesting what the end of the year... I have no idea what the end of the year is going to look like.
I can't give you a male wrestler of the year right now. I would probably say Okada for those two matches against Naito and then against Ibushi that were phenomenal. Both five-star matches to me.
I'm going to throw it out and just say maybe Jericho?
It could be.
Well, we will have to see.
And I guess the last thing is, before we get out of here, is Martha Hart was on Chris Jericho's pod. We're going to have some Owen Hart discussions this week on the One Fall podcast. But we'll do a pod early sometime Wednesday. We'll figure out each other's schedule. But sometimes Wednesday we will have the Owen Hart podcast talking about the dark side of the ring. I did listen to the Martha Hart podcast. She was on Jericho's, which I think shocked a lot of us. None of us really saw that coming. She seems like I'm really happy. She seems very happy in her life now. She became a doctor. The Owen Hart Foundation, man, they've gotten Robin Williams, Jerry Seinfeld. They have pulled Alec Baldwin. They've pulled some tremendous people to help with that. And it's been great. Her kids have been well adjusted with Athena doing stuff, creating some stuff with animals. And Oge is a lawyer. So good to see that Owen's kids are doing good. It's heartbreaking that they're not as close to the family. That sucks.
Yeah. If you've seen a picture of Oge, like there was a picture from the behind the scenes for the Dark Side, and you see him and you go, oh man, he looks a lot like Owen.
Mm-hmm.
He looks a lot like I haven't listened to the podcast yet. I think that's what I'm going to be doing tonight. As for the Dark Side of the Ring, that's, You start with Benoit and then you end with Owen. It's gonna be a tough watch. It's gonna be a really tough watch.
Yeah, there'll be some fun stuff, and I'm interested to see the guests that they would get for it. She seems open to doing more merchandise and stuff. None of this can I imagine be easy. It's unfortunate she's not close to the Hart family, but the reasons are what they are. And, I really recommend it to listen to. It reminded me in some ways of Nancy's sister talking to Jericho. It seemed a little more happier, obviously, because they didn't really get into the day of the death or anything, or even the lawsuits, really. She just kind of talked about her favorite memories with her husband and then talked about where she is in her life and her kids. So that's all you really want to hear. I don't need to hear all the negative stuff. She didn't even really bury WWE. She just made it be known she doesn't want to work with them.
Yeah. I think a lot of ways this can be coupled with Dark Side of the Ring. Like, this will be pre-death or pre-final days, and then Dark Side will be the nitty-gritty, the dark side of it, with the last couple days of Owen Hart's life. And then it'll be a nice retrospective on everything Owen, and then you kind of, much like the Benoit thing, you can kind of finally put this to rest.
I agree. So there we go, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to the One Fall podcast. Go check out Cage Fighter this week on Fight. And until next time, everyone, cheers and enjoy the day. Goodbye.
And good night, Ben.